SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
We're talking a lot about being seen and known and loved on SOS Radio with R. York Moore today. And he's an author and works with InterVarsity. And this election season that we've lived through, oh, it's been challenging the way that we look at love this last season, hasn't it?
Absolutely. No, I think we're all longing to be heard and be seen. And it really does create an opportunity for those of us who follow Jesus to really be witnesses like no other time in our life.
I know a big part of loving is also listening. I mean, we've all been talking, but we just want everybody else to hear our opinion. But maybe we need to stop and actually listen and look inside what's in someone's heart before we just keep talking again.
If you think about most conversations, they're just really one person waiting his or her opportunity to speak, and there's not a lot of listening going on. I was reminded this morning of a quote that the nearest thing that most people will actually feel to authentic love is to be listened to. In this age of rhetoric, of one-liners, of tweets, we can really make an impact on people's lives simply by being present, practicing the ministry of presence, listening to people, and affirming what their narrative or their story is.
I'm sure you've heard of the five love languages made popular by Gary Chapman's book so many years ago. Physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, and quality time, and acts of service. And I think these love languages can really help us just to understand each other better. And we're talking about what that actually means with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio. When you first got to know Gary, how did you come to know about the love languages?
Well, I'm in my early 50s now. I've been happily married for going on 24 years. And as a young married man, my wife suggested that I read the five love languages and that we take the test. And I had never heard of that before, but it really made a huge impact on my ability to understand how to love my wife, how to love her in a way that she could actually receive that love. And since then, like millions of other people, many, many countless couples, the love languages are kind of a daily rubric for us to understand how are we doing? How can we love one another better? And as I got to work with Dr. Gary Chapman, we began to realize the evangelistic power of using these love languages also for people who do not yet have a relationship with God.
That's interesting. What did you notice as you started digging in?
Well, I've been an evangelist with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship now for 25 years and love the work that we're doing. And as an evangelist, I've shared the gospel with millions of people all over the country on a one-on-one basis and large conference venues. And, you know, over the course of the years, I've begun to realize that just like there are five love languages, there are what I call five heart hopes. And they are, I am seen, I belong, I have worth, I am known, I matter. I'll come back to those in a minute. But there's a correlation between these heart hopes, these core driving questions of people's lives. And so when Dr. Chapman's team decided to write an evangelistic book, they wanted to team up with an evangelist, somebody who was out there who would do the work and who could help make this love language concept accessible as an evangelistic tool. So when Gary and I sat down to kind of draft the book together, we decided that what we really wanted to do was to write kind of the More Than the Carpenter for a new generation. If you remember that book by Josh McDowell, it impacted millions of people's lives all over the world. It addressed intellectual questions, philosophic questions, questions about the nature of the Bible. And those were all very important questions. They still are. But for this generation, we wanted to write a book that would be evangelistic for an emotionally sophisticated, an emotionally curious generation, a generation that grew up on Dr. Phil and Oprah, a generation that is accustomed to taking Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. And, you know, all of these tests that we're surrounded with are mainstream now. And so in this book, Seen, Known, Loved, what we do is we take the five love languages and we correlate them with what I call these evangelistic heart hopes, and we give people an opportunity to understand how they can have a relationship with God through Christ.
You've heard about the five love languages, but there's also the five heart hopes. And we're talking about the emotional part of who we are, how we experience love and understand God with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio. You've been working with Gary Chapman. He's the one that originally wrote that book years and years ago. And you're an evangelist. You work with InterVarsity. And we were just talking about the emotional part of who we are. And everyone has this longing. And we think we're an intellectual or we think we're an emotional creature, but we all have a craving for God, and we sometimes just don't know how to connect the dots. What have you learned?
Well, over the years, I've begun to realize that just by listening to people, we can pick up on very distinctive cues that tell us part of their story, even if they're unwilling to share that story. I'll give you an example. So my love language is words of affirmation. So if you really want to love me, tell me I'm doing great on your show, and we're off to the races, right? I believe that a person whose love language is words of affirmation, what they're really longing for, what their life ambition revolves around, is to be seen, right? A person whose love language is physical touch, they're longing to belong. A person whose love language is receiving gifts, they're longing to know that they have worth. And so what I've learned over the years, that if we can just slow down long enough to listen to people's stories, we don't actually create evangelistic opportunities, we discover them. We discover the opportunities that are already there because the Holy Spirit has already been working in a person's life, addressing these core ambitions, these great heart hopes through these love languages, and then we begin to shape our response to them. We begin to introduce them to the God who speaks fluently all five love languages. These love languages, part of the reason why Dr. Chapman's book has been a global phenomenon is because I think it's written into the DNA of who we are. God has created us to speak these love languages, and we're created in his image. And so God knows how to speak these love languages back. And so what I've learned is if I can slow down long enough to understand a person's love language, their heart hope, I can begin to explain how to have a relationship with God through Christ in a way that is so much more meaningful, so much more palatable, so much more visceral to a person that it just makes total sense. That's not to say that evangelism is easy or there's some kind of equation out there, but the reality is a lot of times we make loving people harder than it should be. I remember when I was a young married guy, and I thought I was loving my wife well, and after several months of newlywedded bliss, at least I thought, my wife got very, very angry. And she comes in one day after work and she says, "I can't believe how inconsiderate you are, and how could you have done this to me?" And I'm thinking, what in the world? I had no idea what she was so upset about. And she said, "Well, every morning you block my car in." She had to go to work before I did, and so my car was always in front of her car. And she, "I always have to move your car, and it's so inconsiderate." You know, I've learned now over the years that my wife's love language is acts of service. I wasn't serving her at all. I didn't have any clue that I was blocking her in the morning. And as long as I kept giving her gifts, physical touch, encouraging words of affirmation, I thought that I was loving her, when in reality, she was fixated on the fact that I wasn't serving her by taking out the trash or emptying the dishwasher or moving the car. And just like that, evangelistically, so oftentimes we think we're loving our neighbor because we're loving them through the method that we want to be loved. And we need to slow down and listen. You started the interview in talking about the act of listening. That's exactly how we discover how to love people well, is by listening.
We're talking about being seen and known and loved with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio. Loneliness isn't always just being alone, right? Like, you can feel lonely still being surrounded by other people. Loneliness can be felt when nobody cares. Why do you think it is that so many people struggle to feel loved and cared for?
Well, we're living in an epidemic of loneliness. Before COVID came, the pandemic levels of loneliness, depression, despair were at historic levels. In fact, in the European Union, they have a full-time minister of loneliness. That's the actual title, a minister of loneliness. We definitely have done the research, and the impact of loneliness on people psychologically is profound. And as those of us who follow Christ, we know that there's also a spiritual implication of loneliness, that we were not created to live by ourselves. We've been created in the image of a God who is himself a community, a Father, Son, and Spirit. And within that community, there is love. And so when we try to live in isolation from others, you know, we're living outside of our designed intent. God designed us to be people who are interdependent on others. Now, that's not dependent, but it's interdependent, meaning that the best of who we are can only be realized as we are living in relationships with other people. The reality is, even before COVID, we were in this pandemic. Social media, I think, is a fantastic thing. It's a great thing. It also has its evils. The online world isn't some kind of pseudo world. It's not a false world. It's a real world that has positive aspects to it. But here's the problem. Over the course of time, what we do is we substitute real in-person, face-to-face relationships with people that we know in the non-online world with the online world, where we're not seen, where we're not known, where our value is predicated upon likes and views and followers. And that is always going to bring us down. We've been created in the image of a God who sees us, who knows us, and loves us. And as we experience community with him, that is how we experience who we have been created to be.
We're talking with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio, and words of affirmation is one of the five love languages that Gary Chapman talks about in his book that he wrote back in like 1992. And a lot of times when we think about giving people praise or complimenting others, we often forget about the praise that comes for God. I mean, how does hearing God's word of affirmation differ from the way that we hear that from other people?
Right. The reality is that God speaks these love languages. He's created us to speak these love languages. And we can speak them back and forth to God himself. So I'm a words of affirmation guy. I love to receive love that way, but I also love to give love that way. And so in my relationship with God, I know things are going well. I'm connecting with him. When I'm living a life of praise, when I'm living a life of thanksgiving, when the first words out of my mouth when I get up in the morning are, thank you, Jesus. When I look at the beautiful sunset and I say, thank you, Lord, and I praise him for who he is, I'm giving him words of affirmation. And in every single one of these love languages, we can give back to God the love that he gives us through our love language. And the reality is that God also gives us his love to us in the same way. Case in point, right? So a person whose love language is physical touch, you say, well, how can the invisible God, how can God give us physical touch? All the time, God is surrounding us with his arms. You know, in watching a sunset, a person might just appreciate its natural beauty. But I believe that the Holy Spirit takes these instances, the smile of a child, a bee on a flower, the sunset, a deer prancing through a meadow, and in that moment, the Spirit of God makes it meaningful to us in a hyper-personal way. It's almost as if God's presence is even more visceral than a physical hug as God surrounds us with his presence through the world around us. And just like that, there are opportunities for us to experience the love of God just in the way that God has created us to experience. And when we do, we know he's real. Here's the thing. You know, when you experience the love of God, you don't have to take a class to verify that you've been loved. You don't have to read a paper. You don't have to. You know that you're loved when you experience love. And the love of God is all around us all the time.
You know, there's different love languages that help us all to feel love and experience love between people, and sometimes we forget that we apply that to God in the way that we see him. And we're talking with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio, and a lot of us love to serve in our community. We love to show love to people. But a lot of times when you think about like the typical acts of service, we apply that in trying to fight for a better world, or we pray for God to intervene on the injustice that we're seeing, but then you don't really see anything happening, and we kind of grow weary. We kind of grow tired, or maybe we feel like we're giving up on culture. Now, what encouragement can you share about people that have felt that way through this political season we've lived through?
You know, for 15 years of my career, starting back in 2000, I really invested heavily in the work of fighting modern-day slavery here in the United States and Cambodia. I worked with the U.S. House of Representatives, state attorney generals all over the country, flew around the world, mobilized tens and tens of thousands of people to fight modern-day slavery. And I'll never forget arriving in a hotel in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, the capital of Cambodia, and I'm sitting in my room, a half a world away, with little girls of my own back home thinking about fighting trafficking. And in my very hotel were very young girls being escorted by security, by hotel staff, to the rooms of men who had traveled there to participate in the paper rape trade, in the modern-day slave trade. I just thought, you know, all these years I had been fighting modern-day slavery, and it didn't have any impact on the little girl in the very next room, 6 feet away from me. And I remember this experience vividly. And I thought to myself, boy, if I've done all of this and it's still not making a difference in that person's life, and it's all for nothing. And as I've reflected over that experience, not only do I not believe that, it's not all for nothing, that God sees us and he exponentially throws a spotlight on our efforts and can use it for the good of his kingdom. But here's the catch. For those of us who follow Jesus, our acts of service have meaning. They have eschatological meaning for the world to come. That is to say that what we actually do here touches eternity. Not only in individual lives, it shapes the very contour as we bring the kingdom of God in its fullness in the lives of those who are broken, who are in need. My previous book, Do Something Beautiful, I get into this. The entire book is based on how to do this. But in Seen, Known, Loved, what we're really talking about is a personal relationship with God. And for those people who are hardwired around acts of service, very frequently we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to do it in our own stride, and we are focused on the needs right in front of us. But here's the reality. When we back up and we begin to realize that what we do does matter, it is going to make a difference, it is going to have an impact, but we put in the context of the God who has enabled us to do this and the God who's actually doing these things with us. And that's the difference between activism and kingdom ministry. Activism is all about doing exactly what I can do in my own strength, with my own charisma, with my own resources. But when we join with Jesus and we actually bring the kingdom of God in meaningful, powerful ways, our acts of service aren't just merely acts of activism, they're acts of kingdom power. And God can use that in a way that is so much further than just activism. When we think about our political environment that we're in right now, you know, I think many, many Christians are putting their hope in all the wrong places. It doesn't matter who's elected today. The reality is we have a great king in heaven, and he is not dethroned by who sits in the White House. His kingdom will come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can participate in that way, in meaningful ways in our lives right now.
You know, it's interesting the phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, that Jesus talks about. And he talks about his kingdom building instead of like empire building, maybe that we see it. But what have you learned about what he really means when you think about the on earth part and the heaven part together?
Well, there's a concept that is not really native to Western thinking. It's a concept that revolves around this word polarity. And a polarity is a durable tension that exists between two seemingly opposing forces. So in America, whenever there's tension, we want to resolve it right away. Should the church be led by men or women? Are the values of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, are they better or worse? Well, there are aspects, right? And so there's this reality of polarity where we shouldn't always be trying to resolve the tension that exists between two seemingly opposing forces. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, right, Christians are deeply concerned, many Christians are deeply concerned about things like discipleship, personal salvation. And then there are lots of other Christians who are concerned about marching in the streets, providing clean drinking water, these kinds of things. The reality is we don't have to choose between one or the other. The fullness of the gospel says yes to both. In fact, Paul's first letter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says that when our gospel came to you, it didn't come simply with words. It came with power. It came from the Spirit through people of deep conviction. So the gospel is rooted in this idea of polarity. So when we follow Jesus, the answer is yes. We care about individual souls and saving them from the hell to come, but we also care about communities and restoring them from the hell that they're living in right now. We care about poverty and systemic racial injustices. We care about slavery, bonded labor, these kinds of things, all of these evil, wicked expressions where the devil is destroying the image of God in these communities. We care about that, and not only do we care about that, we have the power to actually restore kingdom value to people's lives. We have the ability to restore, as it is in heaven, we can actually create outposts of heaven in our worlds right now. We do that through preaching the gospel, so we never, ever make it a choice between one or the other. We're doing kingdom work, but we're also preaching the gospel. We're discipling people in the Word of God. We're teaching them to pray. But we're also providing clean drinking water. We're building hospitals, the universities, the hospital systems. These are systems and structures in our societies that were created by Christians over the centuries. And it's because they had this kingdom value that on earth, as it is in heaven, we're allowing the reign of God to break into the world that we're living in right now.
We're talking with R. York Moore today at SWS Radio, and he just wrote a book with Gary Chapman. It's called Seen, Known, Loved. It's five truths about God and your love language. Hey, thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a five-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.